Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing tonight? This is your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and we are excited as always to be in the locker room. We've got a fabulous guest. This is somebody that has done everything that a young athlete would want to do on the football field, but also has taken some of the skills that he has learned from football, some of the contacts that he has made through football, and transitioned into a magnificent career as a businessman as well. We have Mr. Mark Clayton in the locker room tonight. I think Mark is already on the phone with us. Mark, can you hear me?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. So we are excited to have you on the show tonight, man, and I know this is your first time, but Before You Go Pro is a company that works on the mental, moral, and academic aspects for young football players. We try to bring in guests like yourself that has done amazing things, and we appreciate having you on the show tonight.
Man, I'm glad to be on the show, man. I think this is something that's very beneficial and something that needs to be kind of highlighted at today, you know, in today's sports world.
I appreciate it. And, you know, you have so much experience, you know, not only on the football field, but, you know, with dealing with high-level people, whether it was at the University of Oklahoma or also in the NFL organization that you've been with. So we definitely want to get right to it. For the kids that don't know your background, where did you originally grow up, Mark?
Man, I was born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And moved around quite a bit, probably went to like 6 or 7 different schools before I moved to Texas in the 5th grade. And that's where I did the rest of my schooling, junior high and high school, in Dallas-Fort Worth area, Arlington to be specific.
Okay. So obviously growing up in Texas, big football area, and people obviously are going out to the games on Friday nights. What high school did you go to, Mark?
I went to Arlington Sam Houston, Arlington, Texas, man. And go ahead.
And was your high school was it a big powerhouse high school in Texas, or was it a up and coming?
Man, we had our glory days. The guys before me, mid-90s, early 90s, and then we had a really, really good team, and certainly underachieved, but put some nice talent out, some D1 talent out, and then my squad, we scored a lot of points. We probably averaged about 40 points, and probably won. I think we won about 3 or 4 games that. That year, my senior year, which would tell you a little bit about, you know, our shootouts. But,
So a lot of offense.
We were somewhere
with
that. Yeah, yeah. We could, I guess, so to speak, offensive powerhouse.
I hear you. And obviously going to school in Texas, I'm sure that when you walked on the campus as a freshman, did you already have football in mind? Was that something that you knew you wanted to pursue?
Actually, man, I was on junior varsity in high school. My freshman year, my sophomore year, and a little bit my junior year as well. I was the third string quarterback. My junior year for varsity, and so I wasn't really playing or seeing the field much. And we had injuries at the quarterback position for our starter and the backup, and that pretty much opened the door for me to have an opportunity to get on the field. And, man, I got to play quarterback my first game, and we got thrashed, and I did terrible. And after that game, coach was like, hey, man, I think we want to try you at another position. And I was like, man, I get it. And so they moved me over to wide receiver. And, dude, I mean, it just clicked. And I guess from playing quarterback, I understood the concept and understood defense pretty well. And so from the IQ standpoint, I got it. And I was a pretty quick guy. And so it really, like, allowed me to make a lot of plays at receiver and, to catch on and know it and then shine with it. And then have some guys on the team that were top caliber players that got the scouts out and the recruits to come and watch. And in turn, I got seen and started getting recruited and, ended up having a good senior year and getting offered a scholarship to a handful of schools and ended up going to Oklahoma. And so it was getting to Oklahoma for me was happy-go-lucky, certainly unexpected. Was intending to go to the armed forces. I wanted to be in the Air Force originally and grow to hopefully be I wanted to be an architecture engineer. And so that didn't happen with the scholarship offer, obviously.
Wow, so you mean to tell me that you didn't play wide receiver until your junior year in high school?
Yep, the last game of my junior year, I got moved to wide receiver, and I had one catch, I think, for 10 yards. And it wasn't until in the off season in Texas, 7-on-7 football is major, and that really helped, sharpen my skills and even just getting used to playing receiver. And here in Texas, we do a really large 64-team tournament that you have to qualify for at Texas A&M. And man, that was really the first time that I got to be seen and acknowledged. And A&M sent the first acknowledgement letter that I got as anything as it pertained to football. And from there, it just kind of snowballed.
Wow. Well, this is a great story, and I'm glad you're sharing it with us because we work with young football players between the ages of 13 through 19. Many of them don't get off to magnificent starts to their career. So to be able to hear somebody that had such a great career say, hey, I started a little bit late, that's good inspiration for the next.
Yep, absolutely.
So talk to us about when the light bulb came on, because obviously, you didn't blow up until late in your high school career. When did the light bulb come on? Was it a certain game or was it, one of the coaches patting you on the back? When did you say, hey, I might be able to go to college with this thing?
It happened. I the summer going into my senior year, I got the first letter from Texas A&M, and it was simply saying that, good job at the tournament. And that was it. And it was like, oh, man, this is awesome. It's like 16-year-old kid. It's great. And then later that summer going into the season, I actually got a letter and then subsequently an offer from Purdue University. And that kind of set the tone for, man, like, dude, I can get a scholarship and go to college and play football. And after that, it just kind of just grew exponentially. And I had just letter after letter and, a few offers that came in. And but it was that initial offer from Purdue that just kind of, like, man, this is real. And, I'm I'm definitely going to go to college to play football.
Were grades something that you paid attention to in high school, or was that something that you had to be pushed about as far as getting good grades?
Definitely pushed. We had a pretty tough household. My mom didn't play when it came to grades or, you know, being unruly or disobedient or talking back or any of that. She didn't play that. And so when it came to school, you know, making the grades was a big deal. And we took it very serious. And you know, looking at it now, it's like, man, you know, apart from, you know, having the grades, I've seen guys like my friends and some of the guys I grew up with that were far better players than me that, you know, unfortunately because of their grades, they had to go to, like, you know, in NAIA or, you know, a lower level school to make up and then get up to the next level, which just made the road a lot tougher. And, you know, that, I look at that, it's like, man, that's, you know, I'm unfortunate. But, yeah, the grades was a big deal.
Is it safe to say, Mark, that your mom was pretty much the person pushing you in your corner and making sure that you stayed on the straight and narrow?
Yeah. I think, between, you know, her, my stepfather, and my grandmother, grandmother preached humility. My mom was, you know, make your grades, listen. And my stepdad was, do your best. I mean, it was simple. Like, I'm here for you. I support you. And do your best. And, you know, just the combination of that support system was huge. And, you know, me not even knowing that I would go to college on a, you know, scholarship or even play football or certainly play football in the NFL, but just being where I was and doing my best at it and leaving it at that and seeing what came from it now in retrospect, it's like, man, that was major.
Definitely. And you chose to go to the University of Colorado, or excuse me, that's where I went. I wish you would have went to
Colorado. Wait, what?
y'all still is
awesome.
Yeah, you racked up enough yards on it. But you went to the University of Oklahoma and had an amazing career. I mean, you left there with leading single season and with catches, yards, and TDs. Talk to me a little bit about the decision to go to Oklahoma. I know not many kids can get out of Texas easy, unscathed. So what made you choose to leave Texas and go to Oklahoma?
The thing that comes with, you know, a household that's very tightly ran and a lot of, pressure to perform and do well. You know, for me getting out of the house was like, initially I was like, man, I am going somewhere far away from here. And I was looking at going to Southern Cal, Georgia Tech, who else, Minnesota, like, you know, I was looking at each coast, northern, eastern, and western. And after the recruiting process, it kind of got going, and I got to, you know, see a couple of different schools and talk to a few different coaches. It just kind of settled in that I wanted to be somewhere where, you know, yet they threw the ball quite a bit, being a receiver. And I wanted to be further close to my grandmother and you know, my mom knew them, so they could at least make the drive and not so close that they didn't have to think about it to visit, but enough that they could make a drive. And so that kind of was a, you know, big factor in choosing Oklahoma.
Did you ever get any grief from the boys back home because you were playing for Oklahoma and not UT or A&M?
Not at all, man. We had, I mean, our team at OU probably was, you know, at least 60% of it was guys from Texas. And, you know, the guys that I played with that went Division I went out of state, and our quarterback stayed in state. But other than that, man, I mean, guys were getting what they were getting, and it wasn't a big deal. Plus, you know, Texas was the school, and for me, it wasn't an option because they recruited and signed Roy Williams, who was number one in the country that year, and B.J. Johnson, who was number two in the country, and then Sloan Thomas, who was number three in the country. So that was just not going to be an option for me to go to UT.
Definitely, and obviously playing in the Big 12 as a defensive back, I'm very familiar with everybody you just mentioned. So smart move to go to Oklahoma. And talk to me a little bit, Mark, about when you stepped on the campus in Norman. Were you ready? Did you feel like you were ready as an athlete and as a student, or did you feel like you needed some help?
Oh, man, for me, like, redshirting wasn't even an option. Like, it was a must. From a mental standpoint, like, I got it. I could get it. You know, I understood our offense. But from a physical standpoint, I was so behind. I was a late bloomer, too. I got to OU at 5'9". I was 149. And we tried to Coach Ed, and they tried to test me. You know, coming in, they want to get a baseline for where you're at. And the first test they did was like the bench press. And in high school, I played football, basketball, I ran track, tried tennis. I was just trying stuff to not go through the other sports off season. I wouldn't have to lift weights really. And getting to Oklahoma, you can't skip that. there's no skipping weights. And so, you know, the first bench press test that they put me under, man, it was terrible. He tried to get me to warm up with 135. That's 45 plates. And I couldn't get that by itself. And he's like, you know what? All right, let's move on to something else. Took me out to run the 40. We go out, line up. And I take off to run the 40 and end up running a 4.7 4.40. It's like, okay. all right, that's what we got.
They're and wondering so, how you snuck in, huh?
How in the world? Who is this kid? and it was amazing looking at, you know, those numbers going into, you know, Oklahoma now, looking at it, like, man, that is crazy. That's crazy. That kid couldn't sniff the paint off of a shoe at a university like that with that size and that speed nowadays. But, I was not ready, in other words.
Yeah, so for all you kids listening, that's Mark's story. That can't be your story. If you can't lift 135 and if you're running 4.7, don't think that we can help you get to Oklahoma. That's a special story, sir. Right there. but it's a great point, though, leading into my next deal here is a lot of kids would have been discouraged, Mark. A lot of kids would have went into the tank. But, you know, you've been a two-time All-American. What allowed you to keep working hard and not take that as a major disappointment?
Man, it was I was actually staying, which was, you know, to me, divine appointment, just making the move and deciding to go to Oklahoma and then being there and my grandmother being there was really major. And if you went back to the University of Oklahoma today, Coach Stoops or anybody, they'll tell you the story about when my grandmother brought me to school. I would stay with her, and there came a point where in all the weight training and stuff, it was very painful not having done that, and I did not want to do it anymore, and got left the dorm and went to my grandma's and planned to not go back to school because it was painful. I was like, it's not for me. Like, I think, you know, I just want to, you know, go to the service like my uncles, you know, they did, and just go that route. And my grandma, you know, in so many words, basically told me to, since I signed up and I started, that I need to finish. And she would take me to school, every day to make sure that I went and took care of my business and did what I needed to do, no matter how bad it hurt. And she took me into school and made sure that I was there and went through my workouts. And that, along with, you know, connecting with the guys that I came in with and growing the workouts together, gave us a common ground, and we were able to, you know, to connect and encourage each other and kind of just fight through it together, is what, you know, helped and what really, you know, kept me there. And so, yeah, man, it was a very tough story. Yeah.
That's huge to have that type of support. And for all you kids listening, you know, link up with whoever has your back, whether it's a family member, a friend. You know, you need somebody that's going to push you when the chips are down and times get tough. Wow, that's an amazing story. And kudos to your grandmother. I'm sure Coach Stoops was happy that she put her arm around you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Jackie Shipp, he was a D-line coach at the time, and he tells the story very well because he was outside, actually, when we pulled up. it's funny. It's funny. But, yeah, man, it was big.
So you finally got going after Grandma kind of put her foot in your butt, made sure you went to school, practice, and You had a good year in 2001, came back in 2002, your second year, and had another solid season. But your third year, your junior year, you exploded. Mm-hmm. I mean, you went from, let's see here, 26 catches to 83 catches. You went from 416 yards to 1,400 yards, 1,000 more than the year before, and then you went from 5 TDs to 15 TDs. Did you expect that type of year, your junior year, or was that totally just something out of the blue for you?
Man, I wasn't completely expecting it, but that summer going into it, my mentality had changed, and my best friend, one of my best friends, Will Peoples, he was a receiver as well. Had challenged me that summer, man. And, you know, like I said, coming from, you know, playing junior varsity in my junior year and then playing quarterback and then getting moved to receiver, you know, and then getting a scholarship and ending up at Oklahoma University, a premier, you know, historically well-known, prestigious university, initially it was like, man, I'm here and this is awesome. And that's all that mattered to me. And I was having fun. I had fun. Practice was fun. I was on scout team and Drew made fun with that. Getting defense in trouble was our goal. That was my goal every single day. And we won the national championship that year, and our defense shut Florida State out. Like, they didn't score at all. And so it was like, man, that was awesome for me. And that's what I saw, and that's all I saw was doing my best and making people look silly at where I was. And my buddy Will, that summer, he was like, bro, you know, he told me, like, you need to stop playing around and take this serious. Like, you can do this. You can do that. You're smart. You know, you can dominate. And he just challenged me. And it wasn't even, you know, really aggressive or anything, but it was just a challenge. And it just kind of struck me. And it was like, man, like, I can. And there's no reason why, you know, I can't put in a little extra work, and there's no reason why I can't, you know, go on the field and just dominate and do extra, like get a ball and that not be enough, make a first down and that not be enough, but just go beyond. And, man, that was my mentality, like just going into that year to just dominate. Whenever I got the ball, dominate. And if I got a chance, ball was in the air, I was going to get it with reckless abandon. It was mine and nobody else's. And with all my, you know, my routes and the offense, have it down to the T, not worrying about that, just being very crisp, getting in the DB's head, playing mind games and making plays, and then being able to, you know, talk noise like I talk noise with my reverse psychology and tell guys that I almost make the play that that was a good job. because just to be there, that's good, bro. And it was like a mindset that I went into that year with of just giving it everything that I had. And, you know, the chips fell where they did with the offense that we had, the protection that we had, and then Jason. Actually, me and him were on scout team together, and so it kind of just kind of had a connection. And it was just on, man, and it was on. So just it was a mentality, I believe. I wasn't expecting the numbers, you know, but yeah.
That's a great point, and hopefully you kids are listening. That you know you turn it on mentally first. You turn it on mentally, and then everything else comes behind it. And iron sharpens iron. Mark had great teammates around him that pushed him. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Mr. Adrian Peterson. What was it like playing with somebody that was that dominant? And can you get into his work ethic a little bit?
Yeah, that was one of the two guys that came into the university while I was there that I said essentially could just go pro out of high school. Like, it was like, man, what are you doing here, bro? It wasn't right. I'll tell you, this guy, there's not, you know, a lot of work.
Because we've seen the highlights on the game day highlights, but you got to see even the practice highlights.
Oh, okay, yeah. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but Adrian, like, he came in his freshman year. He didn't start right away. He actually didn't start till probably the fourth or fifth game of the season. He was just playing half. Like, he would come in in spurts, and then he would play, like, second quarter and finish the game off. And it's amazing because he ended up finishing second in the Heisman voting. And just – this guy, I mean, he was a workhorse. He was a worker. He didn't stop. And he has the name, you know, all day for a reason because he really does just go all day. And it's, to me, it's genetics. And we call him, you know, that's freaky. And we say, okay, Adrian, that was one of the few dudes that was not born, but he was hatched. And it's just he's another kind of guy. Just the other type of dude.
Definitely.
But, yeah, playing with,
so, man,
yeah.
Obviously, all the hard work paid off. I mean, you guys went to three back-to-back-to-back Big 12 championships. You played in the national championship game. You know, just amazing stats and All-American honors while at OU. Number 22 pick by the Baltimore Ravens. Were you expecting Baltimore to be the team to pick you?
Man, honestly, I didn't know. I had no idea. My agent was Mark Bendagra and Mark Helichman, and I mean those guys, Jim Steiner. Like they've been doing it, and they're good. They're CAA, and they're good. You know, and so it's not, they don't try to inflate you or tell you a bunch of stuff like, okay, you're going to, you know, this is what's going to be, this is where you're going to go, and they're going to help you get there. It was like, man, you know what? This, you could be a second rounder, and you could be a first rounder. It's all, you know, determined or it's based on what happens in your combine and all stuff. And so going through the combine and getting to the draft was like, man, you know, you put the work in, you did everything that you could do. And the 40-yard dash was the big thing for me, and so I was able to run well. And so he was like, man, you know, you could go anywhere from, you know, first early to first late and still potentially even second. And I was like, all right. Like, all right. And, you know, as it started unfolding, I mean, I had no idea where I was going to go or who was going to pick me.
What was the biggest transition for you coming from Oklahoma, where you were dominant, to getting to the pro level where you had to step up your game? Was it physically, mentally? What was the biggest transition?
The biggest, going from college to the NFL is far more mental. Physical, yeah, you your body is going to have to adjust, but you can do that. You'll be able to do that. But at the end of the day, the mental aspect of the game is just different. It's just a whole another level. And people talk about the speed of the game, you know, picking up and being faster at the NFL level. And the reason that the game is faster at the NFL level is because the guys are absolutely smarter at the NFL level. And so when it comes to anticipation, when it comes to, you know, their study and they're on the field and your fundamentals and your technique, they don't err much with that. And so when you're not taking unnecessary steps, you're gonna be on a play quicker, or you're gonna get to a spot quicker. When you're not having to think, you know, about what it is that you're doing, and you have a hard idea of what an offense or a defense is doing, that is what allows guys to play fast. And fast is really a mental state of mind, just understanding the game, knowing what you're doing, and knowing what the other team is doing, and then knowing how to execute whatever your game plan is flawlessly. And that speeds the game up by far. And young guys come in, and you have to think, you know, when you got to second guess things, or you're thinking about, you know, you're splitting, or you're thinking about you know leaving the huddle, and you're like, oh man, okay, what do I got again? Like, that stuff will make the game fly by you so fast, you don't know what the heck is going on. And so it is by far mental, the thing that is the difference maker going from college to pro.
Great stuff, Mark. Great stuff. And for those who are just joining us, we are with University of Oklahoma great Mark Clayton. This is somebody that was a two-time All-American at the University of Oklahoma and went on to be a first-round draft pick with the Baltimore Ravens in 2005. Mark, we definitely wanted to ask you, because you seem like somebody that has been able to transition from an on-the-field lifestyle to being a businessman and entrepreneur. And currently you are the man in charge with Live Headphones, and or is it Live? What's the pronunciation?
Live Headphones, and it's our whole mantra is about living free. So Live Headphones, and we live free.
Perfect. And I wanted to ask you, because as you know, so many guys have issues transitioning from wearing cleats to being in the boardroom or to having an everyday 9-to-5 job. Is that something that you were conscious of when you were playing, or is that something that you didn't start thinking about till after your days on the field?
Man, you think about it. You do think about it. I think, you know, guys will say, you know, yeah, this is not for long. You know, one day it's going to be over. One day it's going to end. And you say that, but there's nothing like it actually happening. it's a whole nother ball game and experience when it becomes real. But at the same time, when you're there and you're saying that in your head, you're wanting to put things in place to prepare for it, because you're going to have to, you want to play the curves. And, you know, I'll say I was a guy that said, yeah, like, all right, this is not going to last long. And, you know, I know I'm going to have to go into something and do something else. And so I would, you know, make sure that I was connecting and networking and doing those things that I knew I would need, like, at the end of the day going forward, to, you know, move into another in the next career. But even in retiring, like, it was still difficult, you know, mentally and emotionally, spiritually, just going into a different lifestyle, man. It was tough. Like, it was tough, even knowing, you know, having that thought process.
Definitely. And tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind Live and really coming up with the concept for an athlete-friendly headphone.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was really, you know, it came out of, you know, me wanting to work out, much like Everybody else wants to work out with headphones on. You want your music with you because music is very inspiring. It's very motivating, and it just takes you to a level that you can't get to apart from it. Like, you just can't. And with that, it was like any over-ear headphone, because at that time, that's what I like to wear. In-ears got uncomfortable, and then on-ears, it slipped a lot. And then all the over-ear headphones that I would wear, from Beats to Bose, like you name it. When I got going in a workout, they slipped off, and I actually broke a pair of Beats running a route, and basically an out route, put my foot in the ground and turned, changed direction, and it slipped off and cracked. And so after that, I thought to myself, like, man, I didn't understand why there wasn't any over-ear headphones that I could wear as an active person and go train and not worry about my headphones falling or moving, really. And so, man, this was like 08, 09, and that kind of planted the seed, and it didn't really, like, click until about the end of the 2010 season, going to 2011, where I just thought, like, man, there needs to be some headphones like this, and, you know, I'm going to make some. Like, I'm going to design some headphones, and I'm going to draw some up, and I'm going to make some headphones that are over-ear that anybody that's active can wear, and not have to worry about them moving, not have to worry about wires, and not even have to worry about having a secondary device, just having your music on your headphones. And so it's your headphones, it's you, and your workout. That's it. And so I drew my first design in 2011 and connected with a graphic designer to, you know, give me a CAD model to help with some clay and 3D renderings of it. And was able to connect with my now business partner, Dale Lott, and he runs R-Sonic, who does pro audio, and he is, he calls himself a human factors engineer. He's amazing. The guy's worked on big projects with, you know, military, a couple NASA projects, and he's simply incredible. And he was able to see, After a bit, see what I was trying to create, and really help bring it to life. And we worked together, started in 2012, and we worked together for about 6.5 months or so. And after this two, three iterations of designs, we finally came up with our first proof of concept, which was the headband, which is the most important aspect of the headset and the most innovative part of it that, you know, really sets it apart from any other headphone when it comes to functionality. And at that point, we knew, it was like, man, we certainly have something that we think will be beneficial for a lot of people. And we started working on the business side of things, and that's when we came up with Live, and it embodied the essence of being able to live free and, you know, not worry about wires and not worry about your headphones moving. Just you, your music, and your workout.
So. Wow, man, that sounds great. So really, for those listening, the next generation of headphones, for those of us who are active, we're athletes, we want to stay on the move, but we don't want any wires or anything holding us back. So you guys definitely have to check out Live Headphones. And you guys are currently raising some money to bring this whole project to fruition, right?
Yeah. We are up on Kickstarter now. We just launched, and we're looking and hoping to gain the support of people who have the same issues that we've had, and are wanting to bring something to market that really answers those questions and, you know, really allow people to live their life when it comes to their active aspect of it and their workout aspect of it, you know, freely.
Great stuff. So you guys go to Kickstarter.com. You guys should be familiar with Kickstarter because before you go pro, it's had Kickstarter success as well. So go to Kickstarter.com. You look at the search engine, type in Liv, L-I-V-V, as in Victor, put it in twice,
yep.
And you will get to see the project that Mark is talking about. This is an amazing set of headphones. I had a chance to watch the video, and I think I'll be helping you out with your Kickstarter project, man. So kudos to you guys on that.
Wonderful, man. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
No doubt. So just to leave off, and as we end tonight here, what would be some advice that maybe you would give a young Mark Clayton, 16, 17 years old, walking on the campus of the University of Oklahoma, and he's got the whole world in front of him? What would you say to a young Mark Clayton, fresh on campus?
I think the first thing I would say is, if you're not a praying man, pray.
it's
important. Secondly, I would say it's a combination of little things that will add up to equal the results that it is that you're looking for. And you know, everybody's in a different situation. Everybody has different coaches, different environments, different atmospheres, but everybody has the ability to go to a field and do little things to work on their craft, whatever that is. And it doesn't take, you know, you being out there an hour and running yourself into the ground rugged. But just whether it's YouTubing, you know, somebody, some fundamentals on your position, or, you know, Googling. There's so much access to a lot of different drills and fundamental things that you can do that are done by the pros at your position that you can just look up online and take a couple of them, man, and work at those little things every day. Do something every day, whether it's, you know, you walking to school and you just putting your foot in the ground and going the other way. I was up in New York for our meet. We had some meetings, and I was just, there was a kid just walking down the street, and he was just, you see him like drill. He didn't have no ball, but he was just kind of going through it in his head and just dribbling and doing his thing. And I just remember back to like when I was younger, and you just do that, like, and it seemed like you know, this is on the street, like going through his motions without a ball. That looks weird, but it really is like little stuff like that help build and help grow you in your field and at your position, whatever that is. And so, man, eat it up, the little things, man. Take advantage of the little fundamental things, because one thing has stuck with me that I've heard a long time ago, and it always will, and the guys that I teach, I tell them the same thing, that the fundamentals of the game will never change, no matter what position, where you're at, what you're playing, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, track, football. Essentially, the fundamentals will never change. Only the attention to them. Only the attention to them. And so, you know, find the basics and work at them. Work at them over and over.
Fabulous advice from a man who has seen the athletic mountaintop, and now he's climbing the business mountaintop. We appreciate you so much, Mark. You are welcome anytime, brother, and we just wish you nothing but the most success after your football career.
Man, well, dude, first of all, thank you. Thank you, man. I'm grateful for you having me on the show and everything, man. And I appreciate, I love what you guys are doing, because it is certainly needed. The numbers reflect the fact that, dude, it doesn't happen for everybody. And so, guys need to be checked, and this is love. It's tough to tell a kid like, "Hey, I know you're doing that, but think about this." But that's
yep.
Love, man, and I like
it. Well, we appreciate you, man, and once again, best of luck. You guys check out Kickstarter.com. Check out Liv headphones. These are some of the hottest headphones out for athletes that want to stay on the move. So, hey, you have a great night, Mark, and we'll be in contact. Okay, buddy?
All right. Thanks a lot, man. You guys do the same.
All right. So there you guys have it. That is Mr. Mark Clayton. Once again, this is somebody that was an All-American at the University of Oklahoma. He's playing big-time college ball and then was fortunate enough to be a first-round draft pick of the Baltimore Ravens in 2005. So he's got great advice. Hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. Please check out his Kickstarter project. The headphones look hot. I think I'm going to purchase a pair myself because, you know, we got to stay on the go. If you guys didn't get to hear Tuesday's show with Coach Eric Jackson, that is a show you definitely do not want to miss. We went over what core courses are. We talked about SAT, ACT, and NCAA clearinghouse regulations. So you guys definitely want to listen to that show. And then next week on Tuesday, we have Coach Chris Wilson coming into the locker room. He's a defensive line coach for the USC Trojans. So those of you who want to get recruited, you can hear it directly from a coach's mouth what they're looking for. So you guys have a wonderful night. Once again, we hope you guys got something out of the show. For the rest of the Before You Go Pro team, I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and our executive producer of content, Ashley Goodman. We are signing off, and we will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.